Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Good morning. Are you guys expecting a good day today? I mean, when we get to this place, we should have already come with something to offer God, right? And then what does He do? He just gives you more than you could ever give Him, right? So as we go into prayer this morning, just know that He has, I felt like He had set up a table, and that there's all these goodies out there that He set out for you, just for your grabbing. So what is it that you've been asking God for? What is it that you've been praying for? We always go back to the idea of the new year. We always think of all these things that didn't happen. But what about if we just kind of forget about the things that didn't happen and we start thinking about the things that will happen? We got to go there. We got to go to looking at tomorrow and all those negativities that went happen before. Let's think of all the positive things that God has for you. He promised us life and life more abundant, right? What does that mean to you? What does that mean to you? You know, we all think, well, if I can buy me a Chevy, or if I can, well, maybe a better Ram, maybe, or something like that, but if I could have this or have that, no. What if you could just have more of Him, right? If we have more of Him and we put our focus on Him and we draw from that love that He has for us, the rest of the stuff that we go through life is just gravy. He's the main course, right? So stand with me as we pray this morning, but set your hearts for something new. Set your hearts for things that maybe you never even thought of, never expected. He's a God of things that are to come. He's a God of things that are you've never seen. And so as we pray this morning, let him come. Let him come into your heart. He's already there wanting to just express Himself through you. Let's give Him that permission. Let's give Him that way so that that people would see Him through us. Father God, we thank You, Lord, for today. This is just one day, Lord, and all the beautiful days that You've set out for us. Open the eyes of our heart. Open the ears of our heart, Lord. Let us hear Your voice. Let us see You. Bless us with the boldness to step out. That we would not go, it's beautiful, Lord, as we say, to be hiding in our closets. That's a beautiful thing, Lord, but we need to also go out, Lord, and express You through us. Help us to do that, Lord. Show us each one of our place, Lord. Show us how we can specifically minister to those that are so close to us. We can't touch everyone, Lord, but we can touch the people that You shine a light on. Those are the ones You gave us. So help us to see that, even if it's that one person, for today, and You'll have more for us tomorrow, Lord. Bless our time here this day, Lord. We welcome Your Holy Spirit. Have Your way with this church body, Lord. We want more of You. We praise You. We love You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And
as we were singing those songs, this scripture came up. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. He is the solid rock that we stand on. There is no other. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Praise the Lord.
were singing the song. Lift up my soul. Don't you get shy on me. Get up and praise the Lord. So here I am. I'm going to give a partial testimony. I think it's appropriate timing. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Not to harm you, but to bring you peace. I'm paraphrasing. To give you peace, to joy. He has plans for us. He's had a plan for my life as far back as I can remember. And Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to those that are called according to his purpose. I have been involved in, I wanted to give a small testimony about the diaper drive. I've been involved in the sanctity of human life, the sanctity of life, since the early 90s. I haven't done a lot since we moved here in 3 years, but back in Illinois, I was involved in it every single year since the early 90s. We did diaper drives, we did rallies, we did prayer vigils. Every year, I would have a display table every year at these rallies. But the reason why I'm telling you about the Romans 8:28 and the Jeremiah 29:11, we make our own plans and we say, God, this is the plan I want for my life. This is the plan that I want. I want to be able to have babies. God, I want to be able to have babies. I wanted to have babies when I was a baby. I played house all the time as a child. My dream was to have babies. Well, God had different plans, I think. I'm pretty sure, because no matter what I will give honor to the baby, though, that is in heaven. I lost a baby in 1987. I was never able to get pregnant again. Went through all the infertility, went through all of that. Romans 8:28. God took a painful thing in my life, and he's used it for good. How many times God gave me the opportunity, is what I'm saying, to be involved in the pro-life ministry. I could go on. I have so many stories, so many testimonies of how God had used me. I have children now. Thanks to, where's Rick? Rick, where is he? Okay. I was able to be blessed with two stepdaughters. So God blessed me with that. So I do have a family. I do have children. I do have two grandchildren. I have a goddaughter. My brother and his wife both have passed away. I just got back from the funeral this last week, from the funeral of my sister-in-law, which was my brother that died 5 years ago. So now those children in Pennsylvania have no parents. I was a godmother because, you know, I was raised Catholic. And I'm thankful for being raised Catholic. I was saved in the Catholic Church. I will say that right here and now. I gave my life to the Lord in the Catholic Church. So I'm thankful the Catholic Church. I'm thankful for where God's brought me. I'm thankful for all the scriptures that he's given me over all these years. I'm thankful for Romans 8:28. That's my life verse. Because God has worked the painful things in my life for good. So that's my story as to why we're doing the diaper drive. I'm bringing it here from when we were back in Illinois. So thank you for your support. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for bearing with my voice. If the Lord wills it, I'll get my voice back, but, you know, we'll see. By his stripes, we are healed. So thank you for hearing my testimony. Thank you for hearing my heart. My heart is for women. My heart is for women. My heart is for the unborn. My heart is for the born, for everyone, from the cradle to the grave. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Gratitude. It's such a key. It is so important. God is there. God created this. God has a plan. God gave us Jesus. He bridged that gap back to Him. All we can do is gratitude. That's it. We have nothing else. But His grace is sufficient. He is all we need. When we're chasing after this worldly thing, that worldly thing, none of that's going to fill you up. None of that. We are created to glorify Him. Whenever I bounced around from home to home, I never had one particular home, one particular religion. But God was always there. And my little mantra when they asked at school, oh, who's your mentor? I'm like, what would Jesus do? And they're like, yeah, but like, who's your mentor? Who's your sports? Who's your Hollywood? Who's your whatever? I'm like, what would Jesus do? It was a thing back in the 70s. And so whenever the stuff would hit the fan, because the stuff hits the fan, okay? So whenever the stuff would hit the fan, I would just cry out. And He always had an answer. He always had another step, another home, another church, another study, brought me closer to Him ever since I was itty bitty. And so, thank God I didn't have as much worldly stuff pulling on me, because He was literally my Father. Literally, Abba, Father. And blessings come along when I call at 11 o'clock. And can you pick me up? And they end up petitioning for me, my last foster parents. And when you think it's all over, when you think you're done, when you think you just can't go on, just keep going. Keep crying out to God, because God knows. God has a plan. God has a plan that I married, that I had kids, that I have grandkids, that we're all here now. God has abundantly more than we can ever ask for. God knows. Maybe we don't. Maybe we can't see today, tomorrow. Maybe we don't know how we're going to get through next week. But God knows. But God knows.
You know, there's something really powerful that happens, right? When I love that Kathy just talked about that, because the same thing God was talking to me about. It's just, there's something that happens when we understand that we don't gotta worry. That if we just allow God to deal with them, He's got something more, right? Gina and I were having this conversation the other day, and it's so important for us to remember that the things that come out of our mouth are powerful, right? I I know I kind of talked about it a little bit last week, but one of the things that I know even God gave me right now that I was looking at, and it's actually in Matthew 12, but it's talking about like a tree being known by its fruits, right? But if kind of halfway through there, it says, verse 35, it says, the good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned, right? But the reason why this, I think that God brought this to mind right now is because as churchgoers, right, we're, you know, there tends to be this thing where we know what God says, right? Like, we've heard it. We've heard the word. We've heard the Bible. We know it, right? But so often, it's a lot harder for us to stick to it when things get rough. And it can be the smallest things, right? But what God's really been talking to me about, and it was one of the things that I was like talking to Gina, we were like, really, we were on this like, I don't know how to say it besides like this God vibe. Like, yeah, that's good. That's good, right? But we were just talking about how you're really beginning to see people's fruits when you see the way they react to things in their life. See, God desires for us to bear good fruits, right? Fruits that reflect who He is. But so often, we show some different fruits when we begin to doubt or when we begin to take that different direction besides what God's told us, right? There's times that we can be believing for things for God, and when it gets rough, it becomes, well, I don't know, God. Are you listening to me? I don't know, God, are you there? Well, God, you said, but what's going on? But see, this is the thing. Ooh, and I can really feel it with this song. And I don't know who this is for. But if you learn to watch your mouth in those times, when you feel those things coming up, if you can just say, hallelujah, God. I'm gonna worship you. I'm gonna praise you. When I don't got good things to say, when I feel a little down, when I feel a little rough, I'm gonna choose to worship in this moment because I don't know what else to do. I don't know what else to say. I don't know the best words, but you know the best words. So I'm putting it in your hands and I'm allowing you to move and speak and go through me in my time of worship. See, this song, the reason I love it is because it's a great place to just sit, right? A great place to just rest in the things of God. We can't be in any better place than to say thank you, God, in the moments that we don't even feel it, but we know it. We know it. See, let those fruits show. Don't let your mouth run away with you. Don't let your emotions, your frustrations, the things that are driving you crazy, don't let them be what drives you. You choose to let God be what drives you. Let God be what flows from your mouth. Let the things that come out be the things that are a reflection of who He is. Ooh. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah.
Deep foundations. Deep foundations. Hallelujah. That's the title of today's sermon. Deep. Everybody say deep. Say it like you mean. Deep. I mean deep. I mean we're talking deep. Deep foundation. Can you say amen to that? How many of you know that a strong foundation depends on how deep it is? Everybody? Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hey, look at your neighbor, say this. Watch your mouth. All right, come on, man. Thank you, Rebecca. Thank you, worship team. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Deep foundations. Psalm 102, verse 25 says this. Of old, thou hast laid the foundation of the earth. Can you say amen to that? Long time ago, he laid the foundation of the earth. Can you say amen? The heavens are the works of your hands. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. God, how many know there's only one God?
Amen.
How many, there ain't no other gods? Amen?
Nope.
Amen. Can I tell you, there's no other God. There's nothing else to contend with God. Is that right? Because if you're going to contend with God, you got to be a God. You're not even the same realm. You're not even the same class as him. Is that right?
That's it.
Oh, we have gone through, the church has gone through some things where the devil does everything. We blame everything on the devil. I don't even like talking about him up here because he wants to hear his name up here. The devil. Folks, we ain't got nothing to do with him. He's not in this kingdom we live in. Can you say amen to that? He can't contend with God. He can't be everywhere like God can. He can't know everything like God does. Listen. He doesn't see everything like God does. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
He can't read your innermost being. Can you say amen? I will say this, I'll continue to say this. He is nothing in the kingdom. No place given to him. Can you say amen to that? The scriptures tell us to give no place to who?
The devil.
Don't give him a place. Never give him a place. So if you're not going to give him a place, don't blame him for anything. Can you say amen to that? Don't say this, that. Well, the enemy. You know what? Come on, man. Stop it. Believe what God has said. God loves you to believe him.
Yeah.
You know what? You know what? Your faith isn't going to please him. Your faith in God doesn't please him. Your faith in what he says and what he has given you is going to please him. Can you say amen to that? Do you understand what I'm telling you? There's people out there who say, do you have faith? Yeah, well, yes, I'm a Presbyterian, or I'm a non-denominational like we are here. Are we non-denominational, Tommy? What are we here?
Sons and daughters.
Huh? Sons and daughters. Yeah. What are we here?
Sons and daughters of God.
Yeah. I like another, my son's pastor, he says, we're Emmanuelists.
Emmanuel.
We believe that God is with us. Is that right? God with us.
Amen.
Are you of that sort? I will tell you, man, don't blame anything on the enemy. If you want to blame somebody,
blame yourself.
I would tell you, you know what? I even told God, yeah, I'm going to blame you for this, Lord. Whatever I'm going through, I might even blame God. Because the Bible says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So everything you go through must be ordered by God. Is that okay? A lot of people, no, God's not that kind of God that'll do that. Yeah, he is, because he knows what it will take to strengthen you and build you and cause you to understand what he's doing in your life. Can you say amen to that? That's what God desires for you. He wants you to understand him. And today, the foundation that we're going to talk about is Jesus. How many know that?
Yes.
Do you remember that song? It goes, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone. Remember that song? A tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, a real foundation. Hallelujah. How many of you are on the foundation of Jesus Christ? Man, that's where I'm at. I don't know. Now we're going to talk about this deep foundation. I'm going to take you to Isaiah 48, verse 12 and 13. This is what it says. Hearken to me, O Jacob and Israel, and I'm going to say to you, hearken to him, people of God. Amen?
Amen.
My called. How many of you are called by God? Raise your hand if you're called by God. You know you're called by God. Raise your hand. I am he. I am the first. I also am the last. My hand also has laid the foundations of the earth. Notice it says foundation with no S. I have laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand has spanned the heavens. And when I call them, when I call unto them, what do they do? Yes, yes sir. Amen.
Yeah.
The heavens and the earth. Oh, hallelujah. You might not get this, but he's talking about us right there. Yeah. When I call them, they answer. Can you say amen? Whew, hallelujah. Jesus talked about the foundation. So I want you to look at two sections of scripture where Jesus talked about the foundation. The first one is Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. We'll start there. Hallelujah. Therefore, this is Jesus speaking. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them. Doeth, this sounds weird. And does that. And you guys are, well, that's your fault because you like the King James. Yes, I love the King James. I'm sorry. And so therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a what kind of man? A wise man, which built his house upon a what? A rock. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Why was it founded on that rock? Why was it? Did he say? Why? Go back to it, Terry. Because whosoever listens and does. Is that what it says? One before that. Right after that. The one in Matthew. Sorry, Terry. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them. Is that right? See that? There's a reason why his house is strong. Is that right? Because he heard and he does. Is that right? How many of you know that hearing is just not enough? Is that right? If he tells you to love your neighbor, that's hearing. But when you don't do it, what's happening? You're not doing it. Is that okay? That's not hard, huh? That's not easy to, if he tells you to give, and you don't want to give, well, guess what happens? He says, he that hears and does, he shall be likened unto a wise man who built his house on a rock. Come on. Amen. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew. Because I tell you, the rains are going to come. The wind's going to blow. And it's going to beat on your house. Can you say amen? How many want your house beat up? No, I don't like my house beat up. It fell not because it was founded on a rock. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and doeth them not, the same shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Talking about foundation, having a foundation. I'm going to move over to Luke chapter 6, 47 through 49. I'm hoping you're taking some notes on this, because I'd really like for you to go back and look at some of these things. Luke chapter 6, verse 47 through 49 says this. He's talking about the same thing. Luke is recording what Matthew recorded, but Luke's got a couple of different words in it. It says, whosoever comes to me and hears my sayings and doeth them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and dig deep. I like that, digging deep. Oh, man. And laid the foundation on a rock. Can you say amen to that? How many know it's important that we dig deep?
Yep.
Lay the foundation upon a rock, and that's it? Yeah. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently. Everybody say vehemently. Vehemently. Say it again. Yeah, no, I can't hear you. I worked in the mine too long. I can't hear you guys saying vehemently. Vehemently. There you go. Vehemently upon that house, and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that hears and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth. No foundation, no deep walls underneath it. I mean, just built it on the earth, against which the stream did beat what? Yeah. Say it again. I can't hear it. Vehemently. Vehemently. Isn't that right, Abe? Yes. Vehemently. Yeah, come on, man. And immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. See, I don't want to scare you, because I don't believe that's what the gospel is all about. But your house is going to get beat on. Things are going to come against you. Can you say amen to that? Yeah, but it's okay, because we trust the Lord. Is that right? All things work together for good to those that love God and to those that are called according to his purpose. Is that right? Is that what it says? Is that what the word, does it say all things or does it not say all things? You are in his kingdom. You have been born again. You have died to yourself and now you're in his kingdom. So everything that comes flying at you, guess who might be sending it to you? That's right. It's the Lord our God. Because you belong to him. And he knows you. Can you say amen to that? So you can rest in that. Rest in the fact that your house doesn't get vehemently beat on. Rest in that fact. Because all in all, it's going to strengthen you like nothing else will. Can I say amen? Woo, hallelujah. I sense the Holy Ghost just talking to you. I hope you're hearing what he's saying to you. Because he loves you. Because he's building a people in a kingdom that he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Not your might, but his might. He wants you strong. So he's going to build you strong, if that's okay. He's going to place a foundation under you that goes deep. Is that right? I was having a dream. How many like dreamers? I'm not much of a dreamer. I dream a lot. Most of them I don't remember. It's a good thing because I dream a lot about all of you. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Wow. In one of my dreams, I was down in Bisbee on a mountain. My wife and Rosie and I, when we were living in Bisbee, we had a almost fell down. We had a house on top of a hill. It was on Manuelito Trail. That was the name of the road going up to. It was a little two-acre parcel on top of a hill. It was a beautiful spot. We could see right down in the Warren Ballpark. I mean, it was a beautiful spot. It was really neat. And I didn't make a lot of money, so I got what they called a low-income loan. I mean, yes, I am. And this low-income loan, we were paying $50 a month for a brand-new house. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
I'm not the smartest tool in the trade. I'll tell you, because when we left Bisbee, I sold that house. Duh. I should have held on to it. $50 a month. What is that? That's not, compared to now. Can you say amen to that? I mean, my water bill's more than that now. Come on, man. Says, dude, not the smartest guy, but anyway, sell the house, get out of town, move to Tucson. Duh. Not too smart. Anyway, I don't know. But that house. That house was a block house. And in Bisbee, there's a lot of hard rock. I mean, I don't know. You can't plant a tree very easy there. And so the guy that built the house told me, this little house is sitting on top of this mountain, but it's got a deep foundation. He says, because we had to go deep. I said, why? Why would you go deep? He says, well, we just put a deep, it's right on top of the mountain, right on top of the hill there. So it was really a cool house. While we were there, I enjoyed the house, but wanted to get out of Bisbee. So I'm not even sure why I started talking to you about that house. The strong foundation. That's exactly right. That's what we're talking about, I guess. But my life had no foundation. Can you say amen to that? I didn't know Jesus. I had no foundation. So in those areas where I could have, if I would have known the Lord, I said, Lord, would you help me get to Tucson? You know, what should I do? I don't think the Lord will let me sell that house. But, you know, no foundation. I had no foundation. The house had a great foundation. Can you say amen? But I had no foundation. I didn't know the Lord. I will tell you right now, today, there's no other foundation than Jesus Christ. He's the only one. Even though this building's got a foundation, even though the building's in Tucson. But I was telling you about my dream. That's why I was in. That's where I was at. Yeah, forgive me. I was at my house in Bisbee on this mountain, and in this dream, I could see all the way to Tucson. That's pretty good eyesight, bro. And man, and while I was outside, I heard this rumbling, boom, and a blast. And I'd look, and I could see right past all the mountains, and I could see all the way to Tucson, and I could see the buildings doing this. Like a building would go like this, and it would come back. And then I'd hear another run, and I'd look, and I'd see almost all these tall buildings that were in Tucson were shaking and coming back. And that was basically in my dream. And so when when I woke up, I said, Lord, what was that? Because some dreams, when God gives me a dream, it's vivid and it stays with me. I can recall it almost instantly. And I don't know if that's with you. Some people write them down right away. That's a great thing to do. I think if God gives you a dream, write it down. Don't wait. I'll wait till the morning, because I will tell you, if you wait till the morning, you're going to forget it. But do it right then. Keep a pen pencil by your bed. Write it down. But I said, Lord, what was that about? And the Lord said something to me. He says, I am shaking every foundation in the earth. Only that which is built on me and remains will stay strong. He is the only foundation. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. God is wanting us, I would say, to expand. He's wanting to expand his foundation in your life. Do you know that? He loves you. He wants you to be strong in him. So I'm gonna talk a little bit about digging deep, if you will. You gotta dig deep for a good foundation. You'll see some of these places in Tucson, they're digging real deep. Like if it's gonna be a skyscraper, you'll see them excavate quite a bit to get that foundation in. How many like digging? Anybody like digging? Digging holes? This is not a good area to dig in, actually. There's lots of rocks in this area. But there was a sister in our church here in Green Valley. Her name was Edna Gretz, a real sweet lady. And she would call us over. She was a German lady, and she was a farm girl. She showed me her shovel that her dad gave her. It was only about this wide. It was a regular spade shovel, but it was only about this wide. But it was wore almost halfway down where she goes, no, that was my shovel. Nobody else used it. She wore that shovel out. We were throwing dirt at the last church I was at over on Calle Paravala over here. We were throwing dirt in the foundation. And I said, hey, let me have that shovel right there. And it was her shovel. She goes, nobody uses my shovel. I said, whoa, okay. She called Rosie and I over to the house. She goes, come on over and have a meal. All right, we go over there. And every time we ate, there would be at least a half an hour to 45 minutes prayer before we ate, which was cool. It's really good for me because I was learning about the Lord at the time. So we pray and then we eat. But while we're eating, she said, the reason I've got you here, Henry, is because I've got something I need you to do. I said, yeah, okay. She goes, I want you to plant a tree for me. Sure, I can plant a tree. She goes, let me show you where I want it. She says, I want it right here. I said, it's going to grow right here. I said, okay, I'll be back tomorrow and I'll start digging on it. So I get out there and I'm digging. I got a pretty good sized little hole growing. I said, and she goes, she comes out. She goes, it needs to be bigger. It needs to be wider and deeper. Okay. So I keep digging. I started probably 7:30 in the morning digging this hole. It's getting to be about 7 o'clock at night. I'm in the hole, and it's wide enough so I can operate that shovel, because that's what she was telling me. You need to be wide enough because that shovel, you're going to need it down there. I said, okay. All right. So I'm digging, and I'm digging. And, you know, I had piles. It seemed a lot deeper, but it was deep. I was throwing dirt over my head. My pastor, he lived just down the street from her, across the road. He comes driving down, and he pulls over and goes, Henry, what are you doing? I said, I'm planting a stinking tree. He goes, really? How big is it going to be? I don't know. I got no idea. So finally she comes down, she looks, she goes, I need to get you a stepladder. I had to get a stepladder to get up out of that. And she goes, come back tomorrow, we'll plant it. I said, okay. Man, I was glad. I don't think I worked that hard in a long time. It was pretty rough. I came back the next morning, and she brings the tree to me, and it's in a little tiny bucket like this. She goes, "It's a tree." Okay, but I haven't. And backyard, she's got all these bags of stuff to toss in the hole. So I spent part of the morning dumping all those bags in there, tamping it down, dumping it, and I finally got the tree planted. And big hole, it was a great big hole. There was a lot of dirt. And here's this little tiny tree about that tall sticking out of that, man. My pastor told me later on, he goes, hey, I passed by where you're planting that tree. He goes, Henry, you don't have to dig that big of a hole for a tree like that. I go, no. I said, well, I was under instruction. This lady told me how to build this. I will tell you, if you go down in Santo Tomas, it is the biggest pecan tree in the whole park. That tree took off, man. Within 3 years, it turned from a little stem. Within 3 years, it had a good size little trunk, and it just kept going. She goes, I'm going to get me some pecans out of that tree. I said, man, I guess she gave us pecans and everything. And right now, it's still, I went by just, I don't know, probably last year sometime. Oh, yeah, we're only a week into this year, so it must have been last year sometime. And that tree is still, it's huge. And I can go by and I go, I planted that thing right there. that's my tree. Somebody else lives there. But you see, even trees got to have a foundation. They have to have a place where they can push them roots. And she provided that for that tree, that those roots went way down into the ground. They got strong in the hole I dug. And then when they went to go further in, boy, I can imagine what. Anybody ever pulled a palm tree out? Anybody ever taken out a palm tree? They must have, I don't know if your palm tree or this one, there must have been 1,000 pencil-sized roots. Is that right? Like hair underneath that thing. I can see why a palm tree in Hawaii would stand, because there's thousands of roots going out underneath that tree. Those roots provide the foundation for that tree so it doesn't fall over. Isn't that cool? You see some of these trees in neighborhoods and that were planted there where they just dug kind of a shallow hole. And you'll see that whole tree, that the whole root system will come up with it in hard winds sometimes. Have you seen that? Anybody seen that? Foundation is important. Glory to God. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7 and 8. Listen to this. Look at this. Blessed is a man that trusts in the Lord. How many of you trust God? How many of you trust in Him? Tommy, you trust in the Lord? Rachel, you trust in the Lord? Trust me, I'll get you that. I'm not the Lord, but trust me, I'll get you the papers, okay? Trust me. I'll get them to you. Blessed is a man that trusts in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be like a tree, amen, planted by waters, that spreads out her roots by the river, and shall not see when he comes. But her leaf shall be, what color? Green. And shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Can you say amen to that? Let me just say this real quick. That tree is you. You trust, that's what he says. Blessed is a man. Go back, Terry, I'm sorry. Blessed is a man that trusts in the Lord. Is that what it says? and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be, you shall be as a tree planted by the waters that spreads out your roots by the river and shall not see when heat comes. How many of you like that? Folks, I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of prophetic things. People are saying things that are prophesying and stuff. And there's a lot out there. But this scripture right here, talking about you, tells you don't worry about it. Do not worry about anything. Just trust the Lord. Can you say amen to that? Her leaf shall be green and producing fruit. Can you say amen? Producing fruit. Hallelujah. And God has a kind of fruit that he wants us to be producing, if you will. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Just 2 days ago, I was... Rosie says, Henry, the temperature is going down. Is that right? We have a lot of potted plants outside. You guys, anybody have potted plants? How many of you take your plants in when it gets cold? Anybody? Or you cover them? Cover them, yeah. Well, I kind of move them to a spot where I make a big covering over them. The dogs won't get to them. But there's these two large pots, and they're manageable. I can manage them. But all of a sudden, they got just super heavy. I go, what the hell's going on? I could barely pick it up. I'm looking, and I'm moving it around. So I went to the other one. I said, it can't be that heavy. That one's the same way. There's two of them that we got. They're about this big around. And I think my yard is a little bit confused with our weather that we've been having. Things are turning green already. My lawns are coming up. And these pots have little flowers or shoots coming up of marigolds coming up out of them. So I said, well, I better cover them because if it gets really cold, they'll die. So I'm pulling, what's going on? I could barely move them. Kind of pulled it over and they had roots. Not from the plants in it, but from the tree. The tree roots were growing up into it. I go, looked at the tree, what are you doing? I cut the roots out and they weren't that heavy. I just got them out of the way. You see, those tree roots were finding water. Is that right? Blessed is the man that you're going to want to find water. How many thirsty? How many like finding water? How many like being able to refresh yourself with water? Yeah. That tree, I mean, he had plenty of water where he was at, and he was messing with Rosie's marigolds. So that wasn't cool. So he felt my wrath. I cut them roots right away, man, and moved them things out of the way. All right, so Psalms chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3 says this. You all know this. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Amen? Amen. Say amen with me. How many of you don't walk in God's ungodly counsel? You need to be walking in the counsel that God gives you. Blessed is a man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Ha ha. Ha ha. Anybody here scornful? Yeah. I can get that way. But he says, blessed is the man that doesn't do that. Amen? It's a good thing to remember when you're feeling like you want to go after somebody. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he does meditate day and night. Is that right? He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season, whose his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. How many of you like prospering? So one thing I want to bring to your note, and the other one, it says that, and the other, it says, he that trusts in the Lord. In this one, it says that he meditates on God's law day and night. That right there, folks, is digging deep. In itself, you're digging deep. You're trusting in the Lord. Being that you're trusting in the Lord, you need to find out what God is saying to you. So you go to the Word of God and let him speak his word to you so that you can lay your life on that word. Can you say amen to that? See, a lot of people don't lay their life on the Word of God. I like to lay my life on the Word of God. I said, that's what you said. That's what you mean. And I receive. I'm glad I didn't write the book. Aren't you glad? Because I would change my mind. Circumstances might change my mind, but I'm glad that he wrote the book. He gave us the word of God. So when I look at something, I can say, well, God's word says this. My provisions come from him and him only. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. But gee, folks, can I just say this to you? It's like that tree, or it's like you gotta go after the water. It's the water that will build a foundation for you. You know, where I live right now, if I want to dig a hole, I did a pipeline to my backyard, and I had to do it in, I'd dig maybe 6 inches, and then I'd fill it with water. It was probably 200, 300 feet of digging that I was doing by hand. And I have friends ask me, why didn't you rent a machine? Yeah, whatever. I said, you know what I said to them? Why don't you come over? You could have come and helped me. Yeah. No. But I dug this thing by putting water on the ground and digging. Water on the ground and digging. You see, when you know the Lord, there needs to be a thirst in your life for him and his word. Have you ever heard that scripture that says, blessed are those that thirst and hunger after righteousness? You ever heard that before? For they will be filled. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness. And you're not going to find righteousness anywhere else but in the Word of God. Proverbs 8, verse 34 and 35 says this, blessed is the man that hears me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whosoever finds me finds life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. See that where it says watching daily? How many of you actually watch daily? How many of you have taken the time? How many of you set apart a part of your life to say this is God's time? It's important that we set apart some time to seek after God. I used to do it every day, every morning, right before I go to work. So if I was going to go to work at the mine, I had to be there at 7:30. Well, actually, I had to be there at 6:30. So I was up quite a bit. Most of the time, I was up at 4:30 in the morning with the Word of God, having breakfast with the Lord. Who is that? Who was talking about the table of the Lord? Somebody was saying. Anyway, I was at the Lord's table. No food, but food from the Bible, from the Word of God. And he would strengthen me and strengthen me and strengthen me. And that becomes a habit. You become, when I don't go after the Word, I feel weird. I feel different. I feel like I've missed something because I'm hungry for the Lord. I'm hungry for his ways. I know that we have not even seen a portion of what he's doing. And he reveals himself through the word of God, and he strengthens us by his word. Are you drawn to him? Are you drawn to the water? Are you thirsty? I'm going to read the story about the woman at the well. John chapter 4, starting at verse 5, it says this. Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near a parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied in his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away to the city to buy meat. Then saith the lady of Samaria unto him, how is it that you, being a Jew, you ask a drink from me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. She's given him a lesson. Is that okay? The Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said, look, I love Jesus' answer. He said, if you knew the gift of God, If you knew the gift of God and who it is that said to you, give me to drink, you would have asked of him and he would have given you living water. See, Jesus is always wanting to give. He's thirsty. He's asking a drink from her because she can get water out of that well. But at the same time, he's wanting to give her what? A living water, a drink of living water. Can you say amen to that? I want to give you a drink. I want to serve you, young lady, if you will, if you'll listen to, if you knew who I am, who's talking to you, you would ask me for living water. She looks at him, she goes, living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw. You ain't got nothing. And the well is, everybody say, deep. Yeah, well, I guess that'll do. I only heard one. Is everybody awake? Are you guys awake? Did I put you to sleep already? I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. Well, bye. Everybody say, deep. Deep. Come on. Just say deep. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid what they're going to tell you. Deep. Just say deep. For the well is deep. It's way down there. That water that you're asking for, how are you going to get it, bro? You can't. You don't got nothing to draw with. He's got her to draw with. Is that right? He should have said that. I would have said that. Well, you're the one. You're going to draw it for me? No. You got nothing to draw with. The well is deep. From whence hast thou that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? Was he greater than Jacob?
Yep.
Oh, come on. Which gave us the well and drank there of himself and his children and his cattle. Jesus answered and said to her, whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The water that I will give him will be a, what? A well of water. Is that right? Springing up into everlasting life. Is that right? Is that what he says? Is that what he says? Is that what he says? It will be in him a well of water. Terry, I'm sorry, this wasn't in there. Can you bring 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3? I need you to know this. I need you to see this. Because I will tell you right now, that well is sitting in you. It's within you. That's what he said. There will be a well of water within you, springing water up from everlasting. This is the Apostle Peter speaking. He says, according to his divine power, he has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Is that right? Through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. He has given you all things. Everybody say all things. He's already given you all things. Is that right? Just by believing in him, he's already given you all things. So the water that he's talking about that would be springing up from her, that fountain is in you. Can you say amen to that? It's already there. It's accessible to you. Can you say amen to that? The Holy Spirit has made it accessible so that you can drink of that water. Can you say amen to that? So that water can come flowing up out of you. Can you say amen to that? Ooh, I love it when it comes up flowing. I love it when the flow starts. I love when God's word just starts pouring out. Can you say amen to that? I love it. I love it. I love it. It ain't nothing like, it's like a drug to me. Yeah, you bunch of drug addicts. Yeah, no, it is like, it is to me, it's, I start feeling better immediately when God's word starts flowing out. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Okay. I don't know what to say. I love the flow of water. Hey, I was standing out in front of the building. The Lord told me the building was boarded up. I didn't even know how to get to the guy that owned the building. It was boarded up. There was no signs on it, was there, John? There was nothing that says, hey, call this number if you're interested in this building. Nothing on it. Bunch of plywood over the windows. And I'm standing out at that where you come in, at the driveway. A man had pulled in, and he goes, "Is it closed?" I said, "Yeah." "Yes, sir, it's all boarded up." He goes, "How long has it been like that?" I said, "Tell you the truth, I don't know exactly how long, but it's been like this that I know of, maybe about 3 weeks." And he goes, "Well," turned around, took off, had a few choice words. But I watched him drive away, and I looked back at the building, and the Lord said, "Henry, prophesy to the building." I go, "Huh? What? Lord, what?" He said, "Prophesy to the building." I said, "Well, I don't, God, I'm not sure what to say." And from within me, this spring began to open. And I'm looking at the building, and the Lord said through me, he says, "Open up, O ye gates. Open up, O you everlasting doors. And the King of Glory will come in." And man, I go, "Ooh," and man, who is the King of Glory? The Lord, mighty in battle. The Lord, the righteous God, the King of the universe, will come in. Hallelujah. And man, next thing I know, I'm jogging around the building. Yeah, come on. "As out of thee, O house of God, shall flow rivers of living water." Woo, come on, I'm running around. Come on, living water, that's what I'm talking about. "Out of thee, O house of God, shall flow the people of God, bringing rivers of living water to every part of the city." Woo, come on, I'm running. I run around the back, running around the front, running back. And I realized, the first thing I realized was, God has given us the city. Amen. See, this city belongs to us, not just us, but the kingdom of God. This city. Amen. You see, this spring is in every one of his kids. He's given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. Everything that pertains to life. I will tell you, this spring, this water of life, is probably the most important thing that's in your life, that you tap into that spring. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. It's very cool. You probably heard me speaking in tongues just a little bit before we started. Is that right? When I was singing in tongues, that's it. People say, "Well, let me just say this to you."
He says, "Well, you got to give an interpretation, brother." If you're going to prophesy, you need to prophesy the interpretation. I believe, listen, let me just say, see, a pastor or an apostle or a prophet or an evangelist, a teacher. Is that five? When they speak, that water, that spring begins to open up. I'm feeling it even now. The spring is opening. It's up. It's in an open. And there's an outward flow of the Spirit of God going into your ears, whether you believe it or not. It doesn't matter to me. All I know is that God is speaking things, and God is saying, "I've given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. Be happy. Be content. Don't complain. Watch your mouth." Is that right? Come on, man. Because I've given it to you. Jesus says, "I paid for it. I gave my life for it, to get it to you, so that you will find that those waters flow freely." Because God is willing to speak through you. Can you say amen to that? And it's not just, I mean, folks, I believe... John and I are working our way out of a job, because God is saying the body of Christ needs to be operating in these things, in this free-flowing anointing of God, speaking to people, going out. And it's not just the fivefold ministry anymore, because the fivefold ministry is designed, if you read Ephesians, it's designed to bring the body of Christ till they all understand And then they begin to go and walk and do those things that God has called them to do. It's a beautiful thing what God has called. It's not like we're used to. It's not like what we grew up anymore. It is the body of Christ, the glory of God, and the vessels of God all over the earth.
Yes.
For the glory of God will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea, is what he says. And his glory is in his people.
Amen.
Glory to God. We're looking for something visual where God is saying, no, it's in you.
Yeah.
Let it flow. Let it flow. Let it flow. Glory to God. But you got to be thirsty. You got to be hungry for the things of God. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39 says this. Jesus was talking about in that last day of the feast. The last day of the feast was there. It was the Feast of Tabernacles. And they would take a large container that would hold water, and they would put a stone, they'd put a rock out there, and they'd take this container and they'd pour this water. I don't know if they had a platform, and I don't know how they did it, but I was listening to he was a friend of mine. He's a Jewish. He thinks he's a Jew. Cesar Ochoa. He was talking to me about it. But, you know, and, you know, he's not wrong. Because if you're in Christ, you are a Jew. And you say amen. I said, I don't know. Yeah, you are. Yeah, because Jesus lives in you. Can you say amen to that? So don't worry about it.
Amen.
But anyway, he said in that last day of his feast, he said that somehow they pour this water on this rock, symbolizing Moses talking to the rock and the water flowing. Jesus is watching. He's looking at that. And I can imagine what's going on with him. Because, you know, God, he's in the earth to reveal what a man of God or what a man of God should look like. He's in the earth to be the pattern, the design that man had never seen because Adam failed. The world had never seen anybody like Christ. Nobody. And I can imagine Jesus in that last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and he's looking at him pouring his water on a rock. And he says, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, look at, because you're drinking from him, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this, he spoke of the Holy Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Check that out. See that? This spake he of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, which they that believe on him, he wants you to receive. Can you say amen to that? Folks, I'm going to tell you something. This water, I would say, go home. Not now. Wait, let me finish. But go home, and when you get home, get by yourself and just pull out the Bible and start reading scripture out loud. Read it out loud so you can hear it. And see if you don't sense another scripture. And when you do, flip over to it and read it out loud. And read these scriptures. Read the Word of God to God. How's that sound? This is your Word, God. And begin to read it. And I will guarantee you, you'll sense a flowing, because the scriptures will begin to pop into your head, pop into your heart. Those ones that you love, they'll begin to burst out, and you just go to it, or if you know it by heart, preach it. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
I will tell you, that kind of thirst, that kind of hunger for his word, for who he is, for the waters of life, it will do miracles for you. Can you say amen? It will help you. It will strengthen you. You will not be disappointed for spending time with God. Sometimes we're spending time with God looking at the clock. Well, I'll give you another 2 minutes, God. I like spending God and looking at the clock, say, oh my God, it's already been 3 hours. I got to get out of here. You know, I like doing it that way. It's better that way because I will tell you, God fills He fills us. Hallelujah. The water, the water. Psalm 42, verse 7 says this. One of my favorite, one of my favorite scriptures in the midst of all my favorite scriptures. It's my, I love this scripture. It says, the deep calls into deep at the noise of your water spouts. See, when you begin to do, like I say, in your house or wherever you're at, can be at somebody else's house. You just go over to visit and they ask you a question about the Lord. And all of a sudden you sense this. There's a sensation going in you. And you begin to say, yeah, well, and you give them a scripture. And another one comes to your mind. You give them that scripture. And oh, let me just tell you, I was taught to do the Romans Road. How many of you are taught to do Romans Road? All have sinned, come short of the glory of God. You know, for, you know, all the steps to bring somebody to Christ. I have found the best way to do is just listen. He will give you the words for that person you're talking to. And now all of a sudden there's a flow of words coming towards them. They're standing next to a river, and some folks, they don't even get it. They don't even understand it. I remember my brother-in-law, John Lucio. Remember John? I remember when I first got saved, I was sitting down and I'd gone to Bisbee, and I'm sitting in the family room with them and I'm talking about the Lord. Things are coming out that I didn't even realize I had been reading. But I've been reading, and I was on, oh glory. I was brand new in the Lord. And here I am at my in-law's house, and I'm going to town, man. I went out on the mountain. John, do you remember this? I went out and was walking on the hill next to the house, and John came out to me, and he goes, how did you get into this? How do you? I didn't even know how to lead him to the Lord. I said, well, just read the Bible. Opportunity. God brought me an opportunity. I said, hey, I don't know. But my love for God was so... Do you love God? Do you realize how much He loves you? Yes. Do you realize that His love for you... His love for you. The most visible thing that we know about His love for you is that His Son died for you. That He went to a cross to pay for your sins. Because He loved you. And He places a water, He places a fountain within you. Can you say amen to that? It's a fountain. Deep calls into the deep. The noise of your water spouts. When you start springing water, it calls into deep. What's that mean? Well, the deep things of God begin to start moving towards you. And you're springing out these words. You're giving out these things. When I do a message, I can't do it 3 days before, 4 days before. My daughter told me last week, how many knew my daughter was not feeling good last week? Her back was really hurting her. And she said, Dad, I should have called you and let you know so that you could whip up a sermon. Pull out the Bisquic, pull out some eggs, and whip it up. Is that right? I said, I don't whip up sermons. I wait for my sermon. I can't do it 3 days before. It's probably like this sermon's yesterday, maybe the day before yesterday, God began to talk to me about foundations. Because I will tell you, every day is new with God. Can you say amen to that? I had made a Bible study for Wednesday night, and then we decided, well, yeah, it's raining so bad, and it's a good Bible study. Well, I thought. Some of you guys might say, yeah, whatever. But I thought it was a good Bible study. And I said, well, I got my sermon right here for Sunday. God says, yeah, right. Every day is a new day with God. Can you say amen to that? And if you'll spend, you know, how many like old bread? I go to make a burrito for my grandkids. I make my grandkids burritos when they come to church. Is that okay? Yeah, because Rosie makes me. No, I just don't. I make it, but there's been a time before I go to grab the tortillas and man, they're green. Whoa. How many like fresh bread? Yeah. Come on, man. Fresh bread is the best bread. Is that right? Say that with me. Fresh bread is the best bread. Fresh bread is the best bread. Say it fast. Come on. Come on. Let's hear it. Tongue tying. Fresh bread is the best bread. Say it again. Fresh bread is the best bread. Yeah, this side's doing great. This side's just, I ain't saying that. Praise God. Fresh bread's the best bread. I will tell you, God will give you that fresh bread every morning if you'll go after it. Who wants 3-day-old? Who wants a week-old sermon that I did for Wednesday night that I didn't get a chance to use? God says, I don't want that. I want fresh for my people. I want fresh for you guys. Fresh out of the ovens of heaven. Can you say amen to that? Ooh, where the bread smells good. Is that right? And it tastes good when it melts in your mouth. Is that right? That's what I want. I hope you're getting hungry. It's almost lunchtime, but not yet. Hallelujah. Proverbs 2:20, verse 6. I want you to look at this one. Counsel. Is that right? I'm sorry. Proverbs. You know what? I might have gotten it wrong, Terry. I probably did. It's Proverbs. A lot of times. Give you guys a break. Think about fresh bread. Yeah. It's verse 5, Terry. I'm sorry. Not 6. Terry's going... Man, that's me. Counsel in the heart of man is like, what kind of water? Come on, you guys. Don't like the word deep. Are you afraid of deep? Deep water. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water. Is that right? Remember the word of God says the deep calls on the deep? At the noise of your water spouts? There's a noise coming out of the water spout, so it's pulling out the deep things of God so that you can speak them out into the earth. Can you say amen to that? Because God needs a prophet in the earth. Can you say amen to that? God needs somebody that will speak his word, that as he gives it, it will go out, go forth into the earth, and it will accomplish what he says it will do because he said it at that moment. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Come on, man. That's what he says. That's the way my word is. It goes out in the moment. Not when you get up and you get your little card off the table and says, well, the Lord will supply all my needs according. See, that's not the moment he's talking about. He's talking about deep, calling on the deep, calling that freshness of the word of God coming up out of you. Fresh bread is the best bread.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water. Everybody said deep. There you go. Now you're awake. But a man of understanding will what? Draw it out. See, it's nice. It's a good thing for you to understand that these waters take a tool to get out. Can you say amen?
Amen.
It takes something to draw it up out. There's another place where it says the desire of man will bring forth the will of God. It will come out. That I think that's in the TPT version, Tommy. The desire of man will bring forth the things of God. This right here is you got to write this one down. Counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water. How many of you know sometimes when the water is deep, you can't see the bottom? Is that right?
True.
You got no idea what's down there. Is that right?
No.
There could be rocks.
Sharks.
It could be sharks. It's deep. The water is deep. I got no idea. Go to dive in and there's an old hot rod down there somebody got rid of. The waters are deep. But the Bible says that the word of God, it's like deep water, and a man of understanding will draw it out. Amen. Hallelujah. counsel. How many like counsel? Basically, we're giving you counsel this morning, coming in the form of preaching. Preaching, if you look at preaching, another word for prophecy, if you look at the word prophesying, you're going to see that the word preaching is in that bunch. As somebody preaches, they prophesy. It's kind of cool. Nice to know.
I like it.
But counsel.
For what?
For what? What do I want counsel for? You know, in Isaiah chapter 9, it says, for his name shall be called Wonderful. How many know God's wonderful? How many know Jesus? How many Jesus has been wonderful to you? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And the rest of them, yeah, whatever. He's wonderful. Behold, unto us a child is born, a son is given. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. It says, for unto us a child is born. He was born for you. For unto us a child is born. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. So within you, you have Wonderful Counselor. The Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So counsel is within you. The counsel of the Lord is already in you. Some people, well, I got to go see a counselor. Don't worry, Pastor, it's going to be a Christian counselor. Yeah, okay, hey, get in your closet. Go to the Word of God and find out what He has to say to you. That's the best counsel, and it's free. And again, amen? It's just going to cost you some time. It's just going to cost you a little bit of time. How many know time belongs to us? How many know that? That we own time. Do you own time? Do you own... Here, I'm going to get off on this, but okay, you own time. Don't let time tell you what time it is. You tell time what time it is. Can you say amen to that? Let me give you an example. You get up and you say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. See, you're telling time what time it is. Don't let time tell you what time it is. How many of you got that? Anybody get that? Anybody? If you didn't get that, talk to me later and I'll explain it a little better. But we are to declare the things of God in the earth, and today is the day the Lord has made. That's what time it is. Somebody asked you what time it is? Oh, you want to know what time it is? Praise God. This is the day the Lord has made. That's what time it is. Thank you very much, sir. And walk away. Come on, man. You can freak them out. But maybe they need to be freaked out. Can you say amen? So you have a counselor. But so what do we need counsel for? Why? What's it for? Come on. Hallelujah. It's for foundation building. Is that right, Terry? Deep foundation building. See, God uses us as vessels to speak His word to other people so that they can be encouraged. So the words that you give might encourage them to dig deep so that their foundation can be expanded. Isaiah 28, verse 16 says this. Therefore, as thus saith the Lord, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believes shall not make haste. In other words, you are not going to get pushed out of anything, or you're not going to get excited to do something you shouldn't do. He that believes shall not make haste. There's a cornerstone. A son is given. His name is Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. 1 Corinthians 10:4 says this, and they all did drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. The children in the wilderness, when they were thirsty, they asked for water. Moses hit the rock, and water gushed out. The Bible says that rock that followed them, notice that it says followed them. That rock was Christ. I don't know why I want to say walk, but that rock was Christ. Amen? 1 Corinthians verse 3, verse 11. Thank you, Pastor. For other foundation can no man lay than that that is laid, which is what? See, folks, there's no other foundation. There's nothing out there. Yeah, I mean, okay, you got millions of dollars and you got it in a secured foundation. Not even that foundation is secure. Can you say amen? The only foundation that is secure has a name, and his name is Jesus. Jesus, the only foundation. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. Here, this is I just love this scripture. I threw it in for the heck of it. I don't think the Lord gave me this one, but I just threw it in. Wherefore, receiving a kingdom. Look, how we know we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be moved. In other words, it can't shake. It's firm in its foundation. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Amen? Come on, man. So why do we need counsel? To build deep foundations so that God can use our words, his word, going to others, to build a foundation within them. Here's Isaiah chapter 51:16. I prophesied this to Brother Terry, because Terry does a wonderful, a lot of you have gone to his Bible studies, and he does a wonderful job, amen? Come on, man. Terry, since the day that I saw him get baptized in the Holy Ghost, and I'm not going to describe it just for him. Since that day, he's been going after God. Did you change that day, Terry? Did your drive change? Everything changed. He got baptized in the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Spirit began to talk with him. I can see why, because his Bible study is wonderful. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus is wonderful. But I spoke this because I prophesied it to him, and it says right here, it says, I have put my words in your mouth. And God is saying, I've given this to all of you. I've put my words in your mouth, and I have covered you in the shadow of my hand. Whew. That I might plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth and say to Zion, you are my people. I just want to say this to you, that God desires us to plant the heavens. How do you plant the heavens? How do you, I can't get to the moon to plant anything. How do you plant the heavens? See, he's talking about planting heaven on earth. Lay the foundations of the earth and say to Zion, you're my people. The foundation is Christ. Jesus said this in another way. He said, pray it this way, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is what he calls, this is what the Word of God calls, planting the heavens in the earth and laying the foundations of the earth. There's only one foundation, and his name is Christ. And when you're looking at one of your friends or one of your family members, and they really don't know what you know about the Lord. They really don't understand you, for one thing, much less the Lord. So there's no desire for them to go to the Word of God. Ask the Lord. You are a spring of water for them. Ask the Lord, God, give me words. Give me words. Give me words to speak to them, so that they might know you. And when he gives you those words, just speak them. And don't try to be a Bible scholar. Can you say amen to that? I'll tell you what, people that don't know the Lord, they don't want a Bible scholar to talk to them. Can you say amen? They don't want you to pour out all the scriptures you know. Just give them what God gives you to give them. And allow God to take that word. Because when God gives it, like I said, his word, when it goes forth, it will not return void, but it will accomplish that which he sent it. So when you sense him speaking it, you say it and don't elaborate. And if they ask you more questions, let the Lord give you more answers. Can you say amen to that? This is called being led of the Spirit to help those that don't know Him. Can you say amen? That's why we are to draw counsel out of our hearts from the Lord. That's why, so we can build foundations. Can you say amen? Would you stand up? Hallelujah. Glory to God. I will tell you, the foundation of the Lord is positively steadfast. There is no other foundation that's as strong as the God that we serve. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Father, I thank you this morning for your people. Father, thank you for this year. Father, we're at the beginning of this year, Lord, and God, we know there's a lot of things coming toward each and every one of us. But Lord, I pray that as we spend time with you, as we look for you, God, that your anointing will come around us and will show us things that we hadn't seen before. Father, your word tells us to ask of you, and you will show us the things that are coming. Father, I thank you, Lord, that each and every person in this building, Lord, has a spring of life within them. Father, I pray that you would open that tap. God, Holy Spirit, open that valve, Lord, that those water might come springing out of them, bringing life and life more abundant, Father. I thank you for it, Lord. I praise you for it, Lord. Bless my brothers. Bless my sisters. In Jesus' name I pray and I thank you, God. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Give somebody a hug and shake somebody's hand. Let them know that, hey, that God loves them. Amen. Praise God.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.